If you have your Bible, turn this evening to the 14th Psalm. The 14th Psalm. We're looking at theological conviction. What God has to say and teach us that convicts our hearts. That shows us what we need and where we need to be. Last week we looked at God's love for mankind. Amen. The conviction that God loves us. If we ever get under conviction that God loves us, that He cares for us with a godly care and loves us with a godly love, amen, it'll change our whole attitude towards Him. Praise the Lord. We'll be wanting to reciprocate that, to give that back as we're getting, and we get hooked up with God that way, and praise the Lord, it'll be on. Amen. We'll all be like Judah. We'll be praising the Lord and getting beside ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. 14th Psalm. I want to just look at the first three verses tonight, and we'll just go as the Lord leads us. The Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." I want to preach tonight as we continue on our thought of theological conviction, the teachings of God, God teaching that convicts us and gets us to in a relationship with the Holy God. And tonight I want to look for just a little while, God be our help, in the idea that all mankind is sinful and thus separated from God. All of mankind is sinful and thus separated from God. Amen? Now I want to just preach on that, look on that for just a few minutes tonight, if God will be our help. Now the Bible says, we talked last week about God's love and how He loved us and He loved all mankind. He don't just love me and you. God loves everyone. Whosoever will, every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world, God loves. You say, "Well, preacher, sometimes I don't feel loved." Amen. Well, hey, this world, you may make you feel like you're not loved. Your family may make you feel like you're not loved. But I want to say to you, pray God on the authority of God, He can't lie, that He loves you. Amen. When nobody else will, when you don't feel that love and feeling, praise God, just look up to God, just magnify Him, because He loves you. Amen. And as we look tonight and we see this, the Bible talks about God and He begins to show us that we just all old sinners. Amen. In the first verse here of the 14th Psalm, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Amen. Now, there was a time one time they said, the fellows talking about the prayer room here, I think last Sunday morning, said talking about how the atheists are coming together now and trying to get a court induction to where they can go before a judge and they can get their own day. That they want to be recognized because they don't believe in God and things like that, and they want their day just like the Christians and the Muslims and the Jew has. Well, it's already been done. There was a fella took it before a judge, and the judge looked at him, and after he told what he wanted to do, the judge smacked the gavel, and he says, "Case dismissed." And the fella jumped up all irate. He said, "Wait a minute, judge, you got to hear me. I want my day." And the Bible says, and the judge said to him this, he said, "The fool that set his heart, there is no God." He said, "Your day is April the 1st. Amen? April Fool's Day. He said, "You have your day. Case dismissed." Amen. The fool, Bible says, a fool said in his heart, "There is no God." He said, "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Amen. Now, I want to say, as we look at this tonight, we can see that the fool says in his heart that we're all sinners. Amen. We're all sinners. Now, we're not terrorists. We're not going out with jihad and killing people that don't believe like we do. And we're certainly not going out and recruiting people and getting them to kill people, amen, or anything like that. We're not that bad. But we're still old sinners. Just because we haven't killed nobody, just because we haven't committed some great sin, amen, like murder and rape and pillage and stealing, doesn't mean that we're not still old sinners. If we ever come to realization, praise God, that God loves us and we're old sinners, boy, we'll take us a spit and it'll take them 2 or 3 days to catch us. Because we realize that even though we're sinners, God still loves us. Amen. God still loves old sinners. Praise God. Amen. So in our theological conviction, what God begins to teach us, and every man, boy, every man and woman and child are sinners. Amen. We've sinned against God. We do things that's displeasing to God. Amen. And in other words, what he's saying here is we've generally disregarded God. In the world that we live in today, we're living in a world that's disregarded God. Amen. We've just put him on the back burner. We put him in a box. When we need him, we get him out for a short while. And then we put him back in the box. And all the other times, praise God, we just disregard him. He has no power in our life. Amen? So he says we just generally disregard him. He said not only generally disregard him, but we just pay him and his word a little interest. We don't show much interest in the word of God. I mean, we get a little bit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you know, if we can make it, we make it get a little on Wednesday night. But other than that, I wonder how much interest we pay in the things of God, Him and His Word. I mean, how much focus we put on it, how much attention we give to it. We pay very little interest and very little attention. We don't, and as we walk in our daily lives, if we ain't very careful, we don't think nothing about God. Amen? We get caught up in our own little life in a direction that we're going, and we forget about God. Amen. We do. We forget about God in our daily walk. But see, we're missing the point. If we realize how much He loves us, how much He cares for us, and if we're old sinners, we ought to be thinking about God all the time. Thinking about where we're going to get that help and encouragement, how can we manifest that love in us, praise God, that God wants to give us to be a help, to an ever-present help. Amen. Especially in the time of troubles. Amen. But boy, we get up in our self-righteousness and we jump in there, boy, with both feet, and we try to plow through and we try to work through and we try to make things happen. I wonder what happened whenever we start going through things, if instead of jumping up on our feet, pray God, we just fell down on our knees. Amen. And just fell down on our knees, being cry out to a holy God. Say, Lord, there's a situation coming and I need some help. Hey, Lord, I belong to you. What are you going to do? Amen. How are we going to handle this? Amen. But a lot of times we get caught up and we just don't give enough attention to God, enough interest in what God is telling us, who God is. Or in other words, and sometimes, praise God, we just actively disobey Him. We just actively disobey God, say, well, you know, I know what God says, but I ain't going there. Amen? He said, I know what God says, but I ain't doing that. I know what God says, but hey, I'm just not going to pay attention to that. I've got other things I've got to do. Just actively disobeying the Lord. Amen? Either way, either reason we do it, it's sin. This is sin, amen? Now the Bible tells us that we've got a problem. And the problem the Bible makes very clear. I mean, there's no room for doubt in it. He said in Romans 3:23, he said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the problem is that we're all sinners. Amen. We're all old sinners. This is all right. This will help you. Amen. When we realize that we're just all old sinners, then we realize we're in need of a Savior and that the Savior loves us, praise God, and He'll help us. So if we realize where we're at, as we realize who God is and what He wants to do, praise God, we can get help. If there's ever been a time that the church needs help, praise God, it's in the day and hour that we live. We're coming on tough times. As we was talking in the prayer room, it's not getting, the amillennials say, well, you know, it's going to get better and better, and then Jesus is coming. They need to wake up. Paul said it's going to wax worse and worse and then end. Amen. Praise the Lord. But praise God, God said He's made a way and He's given us a promise and He said He'd bring us through. He said that we're victors in Christ Jesus, even though we're sinners. He said He come to seek and to save that was lost. Amen. He said we were all in sin and our trespasses, but praise God, God came along, sent His only begotten Son to seek and to save that was lost. Hey, He come looking for you, praise God. Come to where you was at when you didn't even have no idea how to get to Him. God Almighty, praise God, sent His only begotten Son, praise God, to look you up. Amen. He came with glory to God. I wish I could run. He came to seek you. Amen. Come looking for you, praise God. What a God we have. That's love, praise God, for old sinners. I didn't deserve a God to come looking for me. And when he found me, he ought to just thump me in the head and throw me in the ditch. That's what I deserve. But praise be to God, he didn't do that. He got me up. He cleaned me up, Brother Jake. Got me cleaned up, praise God. Put me on the solid foundation upon the Lord Jesus Christ, a place where I can build a life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's getting better all the way. Amen. Bless his holy name. Now the Bible says that our sins separate us from a loving relationship with God. Look at last week. God wants a loving relationship because he loves all mankind. But all mankind is sinners, and God can't love us, praise God, in our sin. Amen? So in order for God to draw nigh to us and have a relationship, he has to draw us out of our sin. Amen? That's what God does. That's why we need the church. That's why we need messages like this. Now, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just telling you, we need good, solid, biblical-based messages to put in our heart to help us know who he is, who we are, and how he wants to help us. How he can grow us, praise God, to something strong, amen. Instead of being a little old scroungy jack pine, he can grow us into a magnificent oak. Amen. If we just take what he says and believe him, praise the Lord. And since sin separates us and keeps us from a right relationship with God, sin also condemns us to eternal death. Amen? Sin will condemn us to eternal death, to die forever. Amen? And sin also separates us from God in hell forever. That's the hope of the lost. Not much hope, is it? Amen? Not a lot of hope in that. There's nothing to look forward to in that. You struggle through this old life the best you can with trials and afflictions, amen, and then you die and spend a life in torment. That don't sound like a good life to me. That don't sound like no hope to me. But what God has to give us, praise God, he gives us to it because he knows the position that we're in. He said, the fool has set his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt, amen. He said, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So notice what happened. Now verse 2 and 3 is what I really want to look at for just a minute. The Bible says, the Lord looked down from heaven. Now, the Lord looked down from heaven. The Lord looked, it literally means an aspect of leaning out and to gaze upon. And you didn't think you were special in the eyes of God. For God to lean out of the portals of glory and to look down, praise God, to gaze down, to look upon you, that's special. I'm going to say that you're special in the eyes of God. Amen. It was mankind that he did this for, the children, upon the children of men. The Lord God of glory leaned down and gazed upon you to see if there were any that did understand. In other words, what he's saying, if there were any, if any existed, if there was any men that existed that were down there on earth, praise God, that understand, that had an intellect for God, that had a mind for God. So that's what I'm saying. Most of the time in our Christian life, praise God, we just go nonchalantly along and we don't think much about God. But praise God, if we begin to meditate on him and think about him and read his word, study his word, let it be a light into our life and a light into our path, praise God, we'd begin to have God in everything we do. Probably keep us out of a whole lot of mischief. Amen. Probably keep us from getting hurt a lot of times if we just put him first. If we could just have a little bit of intelligence about him. Not only that did understand or had an intellect or an intelligence towards God, he said, but those that would and seek God. Now that seeking means to pursue as to get direction. Amen. To follow after for direction, for counsel. I wonder how much time we spend looking to God to get direction. God, hey, listen, God will give us direction if we'll seek direction. And he'll never lead us wrong. He'll always lead us in the right way, in the right path. And that path's a narrow path. A lot of times we want to go to and fro and we want to get out of the path. But if we'll listen to God, if we'll seek Him, amen, with our intellect, seek Him with our mind, with our heart, praise God, He'll lead us in that narrow path. Because that broad path leads to where? Destruction. We don't want to go down the broad path. So if we seek the Lord intelligently and with intellect, seek God, He'll lead us down the right path. He'll lead us the right way. He'll show us the right things to do. He'll show us the right way to talk. And He'll give us the right way to act. Amen? If we just seek Him with our heart. And he goes on in verse 3, he said, they are all gone aside. Amen? He said they've turned off of that narrow path and they've turned on to the broad way. He said, a lot of my people, praise God, can you just envision this? I told you, I'm like a little kid. God, I ain't very smart. God has to paint me a picture. But I can just see the God of glory leaning over, gazing down, looking at men, and He sees them as they go to there, and they're not paying no attention to Him. They're not seeking Him. Amen. And they start to stray from that narrow path. And they start to get on that broad way. Amen. In other words, what that literally means is they turn off the path. How many people in our Christian life do you know of that's turned off the path? We're seeing it in a magnificent fashion that we live. There's a falling away in the church. Amen? There's a falling away. But why? And why is that tonight? It's because men and women, praise God, or the mamas and daddies are taking their eyes off God. Amen? We're allowing everything in this world to get a hold of our intellect, our mind, our intelligence, and trying to draw. Hey, we're living in a scientific world. Amen? And we're living in a world of science, praise God, that says, hey, listen, yo, if we can't prove it by science, then it's not right. Well, I won't say if we take the Word of God, praise God, the only thing that'll prove science is God's Word. We can take His Word and prove all the sciences. Amen? It does. But God says, hey, He says, looking down, He's gazing down upon us, and He sees men, and they're going down, they're not paying no attention, they're not seeking His counsel, not seeking His guidance, and they're getting on the wrong path. They're turning aside. He said, they are altogether become filthy. What happens when they do it? They get corrupt. Amen. They get corrupt. Hey, you know what happens? They start listening to corrupt things. People start corrupting their mind. They start telling them things that's not true, that don't line up with His Word. But they because they're not seeking God's counsel, they're not seeking Him and His guidance, they begin to suck it in. They begin to take it in. They begin to believe all this stuff that they're hearing. I tell you, praise God, be a Berean. Praise the Lord, be a Berean, praise God. Take the Word of God. If something sounds funny, the Holy Ghost of God, if you're a child of God, reveal it. Take your blessed old King James Bible and find out the truth. Amen. I have to go further than that. Hey, don't even believe what I tell you. Amen. Make sure what I say lines up with. I remember a time old granddaddy was over. We was going to church, going to revival meeting. Got in the car, didn't have no Bible. And he said, son, where's your Bible? I said, oh, granddaddy, you're preaching. I don't need no Bible. He said, son, you get you a Bible and you follow along. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. Amen? Sir. Well, I said, Granddad, I know you're going to tell me the truth. He said, well, you make sure. He said, you carry your Bible. He said, I don't care who it is. You carry your Bible. Amen? That stuck with me. Praise the Lord. What he was saying, son, he said, son, be a Berean. Study the Word. Seek God in righteousness. Amen. But he said they've turned off to the side. He said they've become filthy. He said they've become corrupted. He said there is none. Now notice this. He said there is none that doeth good. Amen? No, not one. Now what is he talking about when he's talking about this good? He said there's none that doeth good. I got to thinking about that, sitting out there in a study Monday, I believe it's Monday evening, and I got to thinking about who's he talking about? Those that's not doing any good. And I got to thinking on me and you and what we would consider good. And I scratched some things down here in my Bible. I think a good thing to do for me and you would be to, number one, be offer up worship. Amen. He said, there's none that's offering up worship to God. How do you know? He said, because they're not seeking. If they're not seeking, if they turn astray, they're not going to be able to praise God. And you know what bothers me in the churches today are fundamental independent Bible-believing churches like this? I believe we got people that I believe they love the Lord. And they come to church on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night, but they've got a worship schedule. And the only time they worship God is those maybe three times. The rest of the week, praise God, they're just going about their business with no thought of God. I hope that's nobody here. I hope you take time in your week, praise God, to pray and seek God's faith. I hope you daddies is at least asking a blessing over your meals, making your children conscientious. He's a God of glory to be praised and thanked for the things that He gives us. Amen? That's the least we can do. And that's just three times a day. But at least it'll bring the remembrance, praise God, three times a day that there's a God of glory that loves us that we should give worship to. Amen? It's a start. Amen? If you ain't tried it, you're a start. Amen? Did you ever think about what it'd be like if you could just live a peaceable life with folks around you? Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen? Not those that's going around all the time trying to gender strife. But wouldn't it be good if God looked down when He's looking down there, He's gazing down upon you, praise God, leaning out to see what you're up to, and He sees you passing out peace. Amen? Giving that little encouragement, say, instead of some discouragement. Not only would it be offering worship and peace, but they'd be offering help. Somebody need a hand up instead of a foot down. Amen? We'd offer reach down and reach down to somebody and lift them up when they're down. Instead of being discouraging, be encouraging. Amen. Maybe I guess that would be the next one, passing out a little hope. Wouldn't it be good, praise God, instead of being giving out so much discouraging words that we could offer up a little bit of hope? You know, if we ain't very careful, we get down on the job place and we get snookered into the attitude of the place. Now, there was no fellow worked down there with me. He retired back in January. And they all the time told him he had a bad attitude. They said, "Brother, you just got a bad attitude." And he said, "Well, let me just tell you this. It's the one that they give me." Amen. See, he said, "I've got the attitude that they give me." But I want to say, if we ain't very careful, we get caught up in that same attitude, that same mindset. Amen. Instead of passing out hope and encouragement, instead of making a place where God is blessing, God's helping, and people are being encouraged, praise God, it just becomes a place where people are being discouraged. Where there's no hope at all. Amen? Where people just constantly beaten down and discouraged and talk. But he said, well, if you get a place where there's peace and help and hope, then there'll be some love. Love will shine forth. Amen? You'll have a love for your brother. You'll have a love for your neighbor. Amen? That one that's beside you. That one that works with you. That one that lives down the street. That one that lives across the road. Amen. You begin to have love for them. That peace will be there, that hope, that harmony. Amen. And then there'll be some pleasure in your life. Instead of being so beat down all the time, amen, and not an old humdrum person, praise God, you'll begin to have some pleasure, some joy, if you will. Amen. Joy will start coming into your life. You'll start saying, you know, praise God, when you get to praising God and magnifying Him for everything, this old life ain't too bad. When God is centered in your life, praise God, and you realize that there's something far bigger than just you. Amen. Amen? There's something far greater than just you. And when you go passing out that love of God on purpose, praise God, and then you begin to be at pleasure. Amen. You begin to say, hey, I never thought it could be like this. And then when you begin to do that, you know what God begins to do? Because you're doing, He's looking down and He's seeing there's some good results. Amen, in your life, He begins to pass out prosperity. Amen, He begins to give those blessings on purpose. Those little blessings of encouragement, those little blessings of knowledge, those little blessings financially. Amen. Have you ever got to just magnifying God really got in? It seemed like the devil just fought you tooth and nail. Every one of us. Amen, you really get in there and try to do for the Lord, it's just like the devil fights you too. But praise God, you know what happens when you stay in there and fight that good fight of faith, praise God. Like old Paul said, and finish your course, stay on course. Amen, you know what happens? It seems like turmoil come along, but the next thing you know, God comes along. He smooths things out, praise God, and you look up and there's a blessing. Just about the time you think at the bill collector's going to take everything you got and you can't make ends meet, something like that, and all of a sudden you go down to the mailbox, you open it up, and praise God, there's a chunk of money that you never even thought about. Maybe you forgot about yet that somebody owed you. And just on time, praise God, you open the box and there it is. Amen. Because God begins to look down. He says, hey, listen, there's some good things going on in their life. And because that, hey, because they're staying faithful, I'm just going to bless them on purpose. Amen. And it'll always be, and the thing about God, it'll always be, even though we think it's late, it'll always be right on time. Right on time, I mean. That's just God. That's how He works. So we see these things taking place, and He said, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. But praise God, when we begin to try to do what's right, God begins to bless us on purpose. Amen. But He said that, but when He's looking down here, He's seeing mankind. And He sees those fools, praise God, that disregard and say those, God. And He said, there's nothing good about them. He said, I don't see no holiness in them. Now God says, why does, as we look at this, we can see the problem is sin in our life. It keeps us from doing that that's right. And as God looks down and sees us, we begin to wonder, why is this thing the way it is? It's because God is holy. Are you listening to me? God is holy and we're not. Amen. That's the problem. That's why we're sinful. It's because God's holy and we're not. We're not holy. But He said that we should try to be. In 1 Peter, now I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, preacher, you know, in that holiness stuff, God says all that, but that's old stuff, and now that we're living under grace, and we just get by the best we can. Amen. We're not required to that high standard that Israel and them were, you know, and God was telling them that they need to be holy because He's holy. We're living under grace, so what we do is okay. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. If it don't line up with God, amen, it's still wrong. Amen. It's still sin. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. But He tells us in 1 Peter, that's where He tells us about the holiness. We think it's old Bible stuff. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it's not only old Bible, it's new Bible. He says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Now, holy means to be consecrated, set aside for the cause of Christ. Amen. And He says, if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in, now here's where we're missing it, here in fear. Why are we still sinners? Because God's holy and we're not. And the reason that we're not is because we don't fear God. Because He wouldn't ask us to do and be something that we couldn't be. But because we can't, but we're not there because we don't fear God. If we had a reverent fear of God, then we'd be closer to Him than we used to be. But He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Amen. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now listen, He's saying here, He said that you've been redeemed, not with corruptible things, worldly things. He said, in a vain conversation of your, those moral acts, if you will, of your forefathers. You're not trying to be good because Papa was good. You're not trying to be good because Mama was good or Granny was good. You're going to try to do what's right because God says it's what the thing to do. Amen. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He said in verse 21, He says, who by Him do believe in God, Jesus, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in yourself. No, not in yourself, in God. Amen. It's not in yourself. Your hope, praise God, your faith and your hope has to be in Him. If we put our hope and our faith in ourselves, self's going to let you down. If you try to be good enough, your self's going to let you down. But it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. We just have to realize that God loves us. He redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus, and He lives inside us. Amen. And we just have to let that one that lives inside us have preeminence in our life. Amen. And then it's the faith and hope that's in God that gives us the glory. And we begin to see Him. Look at Romans chapter 3 while we're over here. We're talking about this holiness, God. You know, and we say, well, you know, preacher, that's grace. But we're living in grace, but we're still required to be holy. In Romans 3 and verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen? He said, there's not a one that's righteous. But no, Christ says in verse 11, he says, there is none that understandeth. Now, wait a minute. Over here in the Psalm, he said, there is none that doeth good. He said, to see if there were any that did understand. And he said here, he said, there is none that understandeth. So Paul is not, he's not backing up. He's not giving us a new scripture. He's just reiterating what God has already said in Psalm 14. Amen. A whole lot of what Paul is writing is just reinserting to the people, praise God, what God's already said. Hey, listen, guess what? God ain't ever changed. Amen? God's the same yesterday and forever. He changeth not. And His Word doesn't change. He said, there is none that understand. There is none, oh, watch this, there is none that seeketh after God. So with intelligence, with the intellect, we're not thinking about God. And He said, we're not seeking or looking, desiring God. That's what the psalmist said. He said, there's not anybody that understands with the intellect godly things, and we're not seeking godly ways, godly counsel. He goes on in verse 12, he said, they are all gone out of the way, amen, turned aside. They are together become unprofitable, not of any use. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Amen. So Paul is reiterating here what God has already said, and it's it's just not Old Testament stuff, and that we're living in grace, and everything's okay. Amen. Paul reiterates and said, "Hey, we're still old sinners, and we're still not seeking after God. We're still not understanding that God wants us to have a knowledge of Him and seek Him." And he said, and the Bible says, "To seek Him, why may be found." I believe a lot of people's going to wait too late. Let me just say this. I believe a lot of times we wait too late, especially as mamas and daddies. We're so busy. We're so busy trying to make a living, trying to have a home and some cars and the things that we think's necessary that we forget the most important part. And then about the time we get 30 or 35, we look back and our children is grown. They've grown up, they're out of the house, they're ready to go out of the house, and then we look out and you say, you know what? I didn't spend enough time with them in the Word of God. What? Oh me. What we should do, praise God, well, in America, we should cut this thing off the way we know it. We should go out and make our career, and when we're 30 years old, 35, then go have children. Then we'd have enough intelligence to raise them in the fear of God. Yeah. Amen. Because they say the average person that's going to get in church and going to serve God, by the time they're in their mid to late 20s, they get back in and start trying to catch up where they left off. So we might be able to pull back and get some godly families. But the thing is, praise God, we got to realize today that there's a God of glory that loves us and cares for us, and that we're old sinners, and we need to spend a lot of time with our children, amen, to direct them and instruct them in the things of God. One of these days you'll wake up and look out and it'll be too late. They'll be gone off. They'll be doing what they want to do. And then you try to insert your Christianity to them then. And they're going to say, Mama, you didn't tell me none of that stuff while I was at home. Don't try to tell me now. Huh? You didn't live it then. Hello? Don't try to tell that to me now. Amen. Oh me. But praise be to God, now's the day to be getting our attention. So the Bible tells us that it lines right up with this, that there's none that seek God. So see, it gives us three things here. In this psalm, this 14th psalm, he said, we're not thinking, we're not seeking. He said, we're not thinking that understanding. He said, we're not seeking. A man's not looking for God. And he said, we're not walking. He said, that corrupt way. So we're not thinking, we're not seeking, we're not walking in the way that God wants to go because we're not paying no attention. But God said, if we begin to pay attention, He'll show us the right way. Because He said, the sin that, praise God, so easily besets us is all around us. In Romans 6:23, he said the wages that sin's death. But thank be to God he don't stop there. He says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But in order to get there, praise God, we've got to realize that we are just old sinners. Amen. Theological conviction shows us through God that mankind is sinful and thus separated from God. So what do we got to do? In closing, let me just give you another verse of Scripture. We've got to, number one, we've got to make some choices. Amen. We have to make choices tonight as God's people. And sometimes, now listen, sometimes those choices seem painful. And sometimes in order to get in a position, a place where God can use us, God can help us, we even have to lose some things in order to gain some things. Look over in Mark chapter 9. Let me give you this right quickly and we will close. In Mark chapter 9, verse 42, I'll give you just a second turn. I want you to see this with me. Mark chapter 9, verse 42, the Bible says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." Now, looking at that verse right there, we ought to say, hey, you know what? We ought to pay attention how we live, because we don't want to offend these young people in Christ. You know, it's very easy to offend a young person in Christ. They may be 50 or 60 years old, but they're just got saved, just got in. It's easy to offend them. Amen? Now that word offend means to entrap, to ensnare, to entice, or cause to trip. So we don't want to do anything to cause someone to trip up. Because if we do, he said it's better for that person to have a millstone before they do it, put around their neck. That's that one big old stone that they would roll around. It took two women to roll, and it would grind that meal. And he said, it'd be better for you to have that put around your neck and you'd be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. I think God's pretty serious about that. And then he goes on. He says, well, how can we keep from doing this? He said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where thy worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So what God is telling us here, he said, in order to keep from offending, in order to keep in a right relationship with God, he said, number one, he said, we got to watch where we put our hands. We got to watch what we get into. We got to watch what we do. Amen? And if what we're doing is offensive to God, he said, hey, it'd be better just to cut our hand off, get rid of it, amen, than to offend God. Number two, he said, we need to not only watch what we do, he said, but we need to watch where we go, our feet. He said, if you're going in places that you shouldn't be going, if you're letting your feet take you into things you shouldn't be doing, he said, it'd be better to cut your foot off, amen, than to offend God. To go to those places that you shouldn't go. I mean, God's serious about this stuff. He said it'd be better, praise God, to have them amputate, cut off, go in maimed, than to go in, praise God, as an insult to God. And he said not only to do things with your hands, or go do things with your hands, or go place your feet, but he said if an eye offend you. He said, if you're seeing things, praise God, that you oughtn't to see, if you're looking at things that you oughtn't to look at, then you need to, amen. He said, it'd be better to pluck your eyes out to get rid of that, praise God, that's a hindering you in your relationship to God. He said, it'd be better off for you to go into heaven blind than to go in with two good eyes and to be an offense to God. Amen. He said, what is he saying here? He said, praise God. He said, we've got to get the sin out of our life and be holy. He said, the way to do it, he said, it may take a little amputation. He said, maybe taking getting rid of some things. Amen, that's a hindering you. Getting rid of those things that's keeping you from a right relationship. You know what they are. Amen. You don't have to say, well, preacher, I wonder what God wants to do for me. You already know. You already know what you need to do right. God's give you a conscience and a mind and an intelligence to know what's right. Amen. He gives us a conscience. But he says, hey, listen, said if there's anything that'll offend, he said, you got to get rid of it in order to have that right relationship with God, in order to be able to get in. Amen. Because we're sinful and and our sin separates us from God. He said, if there's anything in your life, anything that you do or you go, any place you go or anything that you see, he said, that's separating you from God, he said, get rid of it. Amen. He said, well, preacher, what could you see that would separate? Anything. You just might be watching TV lately. You can't cut that stinking one-eyed monster on without a bunch of perversion. He said, these folks that I work with, they think the world is that Dancing with the Stars. That's the most wicked thing. You say, well, preacher, he says, well, preacher, it's just dancing. Well, why can't they do it with their clothes on if it's just dancing? Why do they got to get naked? Rub all over each other. It's ungodliness, and the lust of the eye loves that stuff. Amen? If you sat and watched that, praise God, you're feeding that old sinful man inside you. You're separating yourself from God. Amen? Amen or oh me? You say, well, preacher, I like that show. Well, you know, we'll pray for you. Amen? We'll pray for you. It's wicked. Anything where they get naked and rub all over each other is wickedness. Amen? We sit there and watch our children. What are we teaching them? What are they going to do when they go to high school dance? We wonder why they got to be 1,400 chaperones there. We've trained them up in the way they should go. Huh? Yeah. We better be careful. We better be careful what we're seeing, what we're watching, where we're going, what we're doing. Because our sin, the Bible says our sin separates us from God. All men is sinful. Amen. All men have sinned and sin separate, and thus sin separates us from God. We've got to get rid of it. But why? You say, well, preacher, why would I want to get rid of that? Because God loves you. And if you love God, it's your priority, it ought to be your priority to get rid of it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I can or not. Well, you better let Him help you. Because you're bringing a reproach on your God, your Lord. Amen. But he said that God loves us and that we're all sinners. But He said He loved us even when we were in our sins. Amen. Even when we were in our sins, God still loves you. God still loves me. Even in our sinfulness. But praise God, I don't know about you, but I don't want to do anything that'll break the heart of my God. I want him to be pleased with me. I want to stand before Him one day and Him look at me and He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. You did the best you could to do right. I wonder tonight if you ask yourself, are you doing the best you can to do right?